Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Welcome. Welcome again, my friends, to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod. We're hovering this evening in search of the living light, which we are always in search of as we make our way through the darkness, occasionally bumping into those things we cannot see. Sometimes some ray of illumination slips in and we can make out certain vague and stationary forms, the furniture of time as it presents itself in the moment. A chair is always a chair, though it may at times be rough-hewn and at other times elegantly shaped with modern tools of manufacture, but it is still a chair. If it is a flat rock by the side of the road, it is a chair if you happen to be sitting on it. The instruments that attend our search may be primitive, and we might imagine that thunder is the word of God, or we might be reading the Upanishads, or many a text known or unknown in the times we inhabit. We presume there were such books in Atlantis, but as far as I know, we don't have any of them around anymore. But we can be certain there were such tomes. They are a hard and fast certainty of civilization, or whatever euphemism of the kind applies in whatever age we are in. Be they primitive or possessed of great sophistication, it is what we make of them that counts. The ineffable finds a way to reach us somehow. We are given many a curiosity that concentrated study will force to reveal certain truths to us. We find our faith however we can, should we be in search of it. Failing that, we put our faith in whatever we believe will serve our greater needs. For some, that comes to mean money or power or some highly desired ability that we have learned to perform. My friends, I am rather pressed for time this evening. I have a function to attend tomorrow, and so I can't let the composition of this broadcast flow over to the morrow because I will be elsewhere, and I didn't want you to not have one, and it didn't occur to me that I needed to do a broadcast until I was done with my latest posting. It slips my mind a lot, unfortunately. So I'm compelled to insert another poem, actually two poems of shorter length than the last one, in order that there might be substance to this broadcast enough to, well, fill the necessary minutes. Many times I just sit and wing whatever it is, but I'm not driven in that direction this evening, though I will no doubt have to employ that extemporaneous feature following the readings. We shall see. This first piece is entitled Dreams of Appetite, and the second, There is No Injustice Anywhere. I'll see you on the other side of them, or Avidachorin, as you may prefer. The Dreams of Appetite. Fast asleep, coiled at the base of life, the love of self in its reflections. the dreams of appetite. Twined one about the other, one and the same, endless longing for expression, there to be reabsorbed and born again. Like Nicodemus, the mind asks stupid questions, because the unknown is just that, unknown. And the reality of things always more simple than we can understand, here amidst the clamoring of the dreams of appetite. Oh, for what a length of time, with nothing to measure itself against itself, and emptiness beneath the grand empyrean arched and bottomless from which falls the fiery rain. There in the cauldron of confused and ever-changing shape came forth whatever was wrought by fear and delight, fantastic beasts and languorous Venusian witch, to dance amidst the purity and squalor of the dreams of appetite. Where is the solid ground? Swallowing sands swell the invisible winds, and serpentine funnels race through the carnival ruins of the wreckage left from the battle for survival in dreams of appetite. How we mourn the passing of the patterns in the kaleidoscope's twist. What special meaning has any one among all the rest? When the colors go, only the backing screen remains. That is the sum of it. Across the face of which parade the wizards and fools who pursue the mist, a temporary focus, an uneasy sleep, somewhere in dreams of appetite. Nowhere to stop. To stop is to forget, beyond galaxies and beyond that. Homeward past bright angels whose work is to refine all circumstance and substance. Guardians of the soul at that fearsome banquet, the featureless night, the black table upon which are served the dreams of appetite. Bardo upon bardo from Paris to Tibet, elusive spirals, the upward swing into illuminated rooms where imagination serves us best, but cannot prepare us for the splendorous rites performed by those abstaining from the dreams of appetite. Far in the unremembered past, there is a music like coursing blood, a shine without shadow, a milk of self-forgetting, a rising, rushing wind of living song. It is the provocation of all longing, the unknown source of every want, to be achieved in silence, under lustrous, love-hewn stars, when silence has prevailed upon the world with all its might, whatever world there may have been, in dreams of appetite. And there is no injustice. There is no injustice. There is often this extreme nearsightedness of selfish intent. For as long as I stand here and you stand there, the appearance of difference is the God divided and worshipped from a bloody altar that man has built to his own dark needs. Everything moves toward a unity gone missing time and time again, until love has brought forth the blossom of love's symmetry. But there is no injustice anywhere. There are no innocent bystanders. There are no accidents. And being sorry doesn't help. Maybe it's not your fault. It may not even be wrong. Who knows? Whose view is vast enough that passing time does not soon compromise their line of sight? Who sees well enough to leave well enough alone? Beautiful bubbles break inside the ocean's foam. The water leaks into the sand, then swims away unseen. The wind stirs the leaves. The grass grows. The bees make honey. The fish laugh beneath the surface. And the horses gallop forever beneath the waves that will never free them. It is only longing, and there is no injustice anywhere. Clouds float by like dreams in a peaceful sleep, and the sky is blue, and the sun is brimming with life, and the moon is pregnant with form, and the coyote howls, and the eagle screams, and hunger and longing will never end. Desire is the agent of God's will, and there is no injustice anywhere. The light changes and gridlock comes, and the car horns honk in hell's unfinished symphony, where the smoke from hidden fires blows from the manholes and grates, as Jesus blows on his hands in a broken stairwell with Bethlehem 2,000 years away. It's going to be a long night. But there is no injustice anywhere. The heat blisters the streets in these cities of wanting. The mad fires dance, the insane dervish in a suit. It fries the palate. All sense of taste is gone. It burns the bowels and turns the earth an alkaline white, devoid of life. Here in the pushing crowd where loneliness is king, where no one makes love but are only ashamed and cannot speak, eyes do not meet. The money changes hands, but never the hearts nor the minds. A place is what takes place. If you want something else, then go somewhere else. Love will only be a problem for you here. It is incredible and it is insane. It will not get better. It is supposed to be this way. A million years ahead or a million years behind, 'twas ever thus. The city is the same. The drama does not change. The cataclysm comes, and the fiery rain vaporizes the stage so that it might all begin again. And there is no injustice anywhere. All right, then. Thank you for bearing with me. I apologize for imposing on you again, but these poems do carry the essence of my feelings about life and that which flows from beyond and into life, and expresses them perhaps better than my ordinary way of going about this business here. Let's travel for a bit in the greater world around us. It certainly seems to be unraveling at a greater pace than ever before. Of course, there are many alarmists around us, and somehow they believe this sensationalist aspect of it all will bring them some greater attention, perhaps, to their work or their thoughts. Or maybe they really believe all the dire possibilities that they report on. I don't know. I know that more and more people are being shot by the police, and the rumors of war are intensifying. I don't see any of this around me where I am, but it has often been my choice not to be in places where such things take place. I don't know what to think about all of it. I feel pretty rock solid at the moment, and, well, as if there's nothing to fear. Whatever may be lurking out there and in search of expression, maybe it finds a medium of presentation, and maybe it doesn't. What I find slipping into my mind is what Lady Nature may have up her elegant sleeves. I get the strong suspicion that she has something to say about all that. I sense the rumblings in the earth and her disappointment in what is trafficking here below. I suspect some possibility of uproar and turmoil in the natural world. I have no definite image of what it might be, but she is not happy with what passes here, and she might well be on the verge of making a telling statement. I shouldn't probably run on about this, but it is a strong enough sensation that I feel it deserves at least a passing mention, just as we are all passing mentions of life, making some kind of a statement. I truly believe that as we believe, it is done unto us. And so my personal focus is on the ineffable. I am convinced that mountains might fall and the seas may rise, but the children of the divine will be gathered into his unassailable protection or be instantaneously promoted to another plane. I think that's also a distinct possibility here in these times. We have to remember that even though we may not have seen evidence of the power of the ineffable, in these times of material darkness? Well, we must remember that the ineffable is without limitation. There are no limits on the power of the ineffable. There is nothing the ineffable cannot accomplish. We cannot come close to imagining what that means. So we must rely on the truth of the power of the ineffable. Our faith in the ineffable is one of the main determinants of our fate. As you believe, according to your faith, is it done unto you? This is what I suggest you become a prepper about. Maybe you want to put a little food aside. Maybe something will happen for a few weeks to bring everything down, or longer. Or maybe not, I don't know. But if you're supposed to, I think you'll be guided that way. But in the meantime, I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. Well, mostly. I've got enough food for a few weeks. But you know that, I don't know how much that was by design. It just, you know, the kind of food I eat, you buy it in bulk. In any case, my dear friends, we have come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week, if there is one. In the meantime, strive hard to reach and to know the presence of the divine in your life, even if for you that simply amounts to being, just being. Let your light shine. That said, Hare Krishna. Greetings, my good friend Lord Ganesh. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Inshallah. Om Amitabha. Much love, Lady Nature. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Haru.
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. Coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.